Chapter 11, text number 56. अथापि अपि भवन्त्येनम् नैव ते घोर दर्शनाः जिघांसयेन मासाद्य नश्यन्ते अग्नौ पतंगवत् अथापि अपि भवन्त्येनम् नैव ते घोर दर्शनाः जिघांसयेन मासाद्य नश्यन्त्यग्नौ पतंगवत् अथापि अभिभवन्त्येनम् नैव ते घोर दर्शनाः जिघांसयेन मासाद्य नश्यन्त्यग्नौ पतंगवत् माताजी वर्ड टू वर्ड मीनिंग अथ अपि although they come to attack, abhibhavanti, they are able to kill, enam, this boy, na, not, eva, certainly, te, all of them, ghora darshanah, very fierce looking, jighamsaya, because of envy, एनम अंटु कृष्ण आसाद्य अप्रोचिंग नश्यन्ति आर वैंक्विश्ड डेथ अकर्स टू द एग्रेसर अग्नौ इन फायर पतंगवत लाइक फ्लाइज ट्रांसलेशन एंड पर्पट बाय हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस एसी भक्तिवेदान स्वामी प्रभुपाद श्री प्रभुपाद की ट्रांसलेशन Although the causes of death, the daityas, were very fierce, they could not kill this boy Krishna. Rather, because they came to kill innocent boys, as soon as they approached, they themselves were killed, exactly like flies attacking a fire. Purport. Nand Maharaj innocently thought, perhaps this boy Krishna formerly killed all these demons, and therefore in this life they are envious and are attacking him. But Krishna is a fire and they are flies. And in a fight between fire and flies, the fire is always victorious. Fighting is always taking place between the demons and the power of the Supreme Personality. Paritranaya sadhunam vinashaya cha duskritam. Bhagavad Gita 4.8. Anyone who is against the control of the Supreme Personality of Godhead must be killed life after life. Ordinary living beings are subject to karma, but the Supreme Personality of Godhead is always victorious over the demons. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupah Kada Mahyam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamscha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Shri Mate Bhakti Vedanta Swamin Iti Namine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschate Deshatarine Namo Mahavadanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namane Gauratvishe Namaha हे कृष्ण करुणा सिंधो दीन बंधो जगतपते गोपेश गोपिका कांत राधा कांत नमोस्तुते तप्त कांचन गौरांगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानु सुते देवी प्रणमामि हरि प्रिये वांछा कल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपा सिंधुभ्येव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्तवृंद हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण. First of all, I'd like to seek blessings from all the senior Vaishnavas who are present here. And on the order of His Grace Chakravarti Prabhu, I'm daring to sit here on this Vyasasana and to speak something in the assembly of all the advanced devotees. Many of you are much senior to me, much advanced in spiritual understanding. Yet for my purification, I got this service. So kindly bless me so that I can speak whatever I've heard from Prabhupada's lecture and from my seniors. So usually this is my first Bhagavatam class, so before this I got many times opportunity to speak in evening Gita class. So we would prepare from Prabhupada's lecture whenever we get any shloka. So I would take out Prabhupada's lecture and then see what Prabhupada is speaking and try to stick to that flow and then present. And it goes successfully. So here this is first Bhagavatam class and I am given 10th canto, which is the topmost subject matter even in Bhagavatam, which is absolute, but still comparing the rasa, the 10th canto is topmost. So to do the justice, I thought that let's take out the Prabhupada's lecture if Prabhupada has spoken anything on this shloka. And I found that Prabhupada has spoken on only one verse in 10th canto. There is only one lecture on 10th canto, that is Etavat Janma Safalyam Dehinamiha Dehishu, where Prabhupada speaks, the shloka speaks that Krishna is speaking that these trees are always living for others' welfare. And then Prabhupada mentions, explains that the life of a human life should be for paropkar. So then I move to 11th canto, maybe Prabhupada is speaking something more on 11th canto. There also there is one lecture only on 11th canto. And that is Tasmad Gurum Prapadyata. That go to a bona fide spiritual master, surrender to him, and then all the knowledge will be received. So then I thought, okay, let's go to 12th canto. And there is only one shloka on 12th canto also, Prabhupada's lecture. That is Tatashchanu Dinam Dharmam Satyam Shocham Kshamada, symptoms of Kali Yuga. So I was thinking, this is the mood of Prabhupada. is not going into the Ras Lila and the highest subject matters, because we do not deserve that. This is his mood. Again and again he is bringing to our point, like we heard day before yesterday, Madhav Prabhu mentioned that Prabhupada several times spoke about, you are not this body, you are soul. And when disciples urged Prabhupada to speak on something else, Prabhupada said, first understand this, realize this. And then again gave a heavy lecture on, you are not this body, you are soul. So seeing these three shlokas of 10th, 11th, 12th canto, I again was very, it's not surprising, but because we have heard so many times, and Prabhupada again and again attacks demoniac civilization. So here also in the purport, Prabhupada is mentioning, Prabhupada is quoting, Paritranaya sadhunam vinashaya cha dushkritam. So demons, they always want to kill Krishna. They are against Krishna consciousness. They don't like devotees, because it has become their second nature to criticize devotees and work against self-realization. But divine life, good quality life is of paropkar. So devotees are topmost philanthropists, because they are always working for others' welfare. So demons, if you want to read about them, their entire biography is mentioned in chapter 16, starting from text 4. And there it's mentioned, Krishna says in 8th shloka, asatyam apratishtam te jagad ahur anishwaram, that they consider this world as a product of lust only. They say this, it has no basis, it has come by chance, and there is no purpose in this world, it is only driven by lust. This is the conclusion of demoniac people. And then they put so much faith in science and technology, they say there is no God, science has given us all the answers, and they use science to propagate their agenda. Why they put so much faith in science and technology? Because science has given them this technological advancement, which they are using for increasing their sense gratification. So then they say, see, your spirituality is of no use. What it has given? A hard life, where life is full of austerity. See what science and technology has given. So much technology is there. And we can increase our sense gratification. But science has given technology, but it is also based on blind faith. Even after technological advancement, their life is full of anxieties. And Krishna mentions in again in 16th chapter, Aneka Chitta Vibhranta Moha Jala Samavarta. They are always full of anxieties. So even after so much advancement, technological advancement, they are always full of anxieties. So they don't understand that spirituality is also a science. It has got its process, its experiments, where the observer or the experimenter himself becomes test tubes and experiment lab. So he gets all the results in his own self. So demons are always worried, and that's why Krishna mentions, Prabhupada mentions in the purport of this shloka, that the greatest demons are those who are proclaiming that there is no God, you yourself are God. So they cheat people in the name of technology or in the name of self-realization, and people think that this is very good. I am God, what more do I want? Because when they come to Krishna consciousness, they are told that we are eternal part and parcels of Krishna, we are meant to serve Him, and we do not belong to material world, we have to go to spiritual world, there we have to eternally serve Him. So they don't like this idea. So sometimes people ask that Krishna is supremely intelligent, if you say God is supremely intelligent, so why did He create us? Why did He create this material world? So then we answer that this is result of our own misuse of free will, that's why Krishna created this universe, it's like prison. So then once one person asks that if He is supremely intelligent, He could have created separate universe for each soul, where everyone is owner. Like sometimes rich father, he gives his son, this car is for you, this bungalow is for you, enjoy. So Krishna could have done that, He is supremely intelligent, He could have given us a universe where we are the God, we are at the center, and everyone else is serving us. So why He did not do that? Why he wants everyone to come back to spiritual world? The answer to this is there in Bhagavatam, the life case of Hiranyakashipu. He is the person who became, almost he became the master of the universe. He was controlling all three planetary systems. Everything was under his control. Whenever he would want, sunrise takes place. Whenever he wanted, sunset would take place. Ravana, he in fact tried to create stairs for heavenly planets. So they were so powerful, they could change the laws of nature also, to some extent. But yet they were not happy. So Krishna is supremely intelligent, and we should not doubt it. That's why he has not given us this facility, because it becomes poison for us. Lord Chaitanya says, Ami vigya ei murkha visha kine diva swacharnamrita diya vishaya bhulaiva. That's why demons generally they don't worship Vishnu. And they, even if they meditate for long, seeking material desires from Vishnu, either they get purified and they forget their material desires, just as it happened in the case of Dhruva Maharaj, or they never get darshan only. Because Lord is very compassionate. He says, if I give him this, he'll suffer more. So he doesn't give. That's why Prabhupada mentions that this happiness which we are trying to enjoy in this material world is not actual happiness. The real happiness comes in serving the Lord, serving the Supreme Lord. So much so that even Supreme Lord himself is serving his devotees. He is busy in serving his devotees. So Prabhupada mentions that our cause, of the root cause of all the miseries, all the unhappiness in this world is because we are trying to become enjoyer. We are trying to become Krishna. And that is never going to happen, and that's why we remain unsatisfied. But if we start performing bhakti, then we immediately realize the first symptom of bhakti is kleshagni shubhada. That immediately we get relief from material distress, and it is so auspicious that we get a pleasure inside. We immediately relish the pleasure. That's why the sadhus, the devotees, like here Prabhupada quotes Paritaranaya Sadhu Nam, he actually comes for this purpose, to kill the demons and to protect the sadhus. But the sadhus, the actual business of Krishna is to protect the sadhus. And who are sadhus? Sadhus who are always favorably disposing devotional service towards Krishna. So Prabhupada says that even Kamsa was Krishna conscious, but unfavorably. He was always thinking of Krishna, but he was always wanting to kill Krishna. So even though he was thinking 24 hours about Krishna, he in fact got liberation, but that is not recommended process. So the recommended process is as outlined by Krishna himself and his bona fide representatives. So that's why Krishna quotes, Krishna says that I come to protect the sadhus, protect the devotees. Because in this material world, devotees are very much harassed by demons sometimes. So Krishna comes to protect them. And sadhus, even after getting so much harassment, they are always surrendered to Krishna, they are always praying to Krishna. They are very tolerant. The symptoms of sadhu is mentioned in Srimad Bhagavatam, where it is said, Titikshava karunikaha suhrida sarva dehinam. So they are friends to everyone, sarva dehinam. It is mentioned in Bhagavad Gita that those who are real sadhus, vidya vinaya sampanne brahmane gavi hastini shuniceva shopake cha panditaha samadarshina, they are samdarshi. They see everyone with equal vision. What is that equal vision? That equal vision is they do not see the body, they see the soul. And when they see the soul, they always think that how can this soul be engaged in Krishna's service? And then they devise some means so that this soul can come nearer to Krishna. And that makes them very much dear, most dear to Krishna. So materialists, they generally do not like sadhus. Why? Because then if they come in sadhus association, sadhus will tell them, no meat eating, no illicit sex, no gambling, no intoxication. And this they do not like. They may give charity, they may give, take as much money as you want, but don't tell us to follow rules and regulations. Because they are very much attached. So where do they go generally? Generally they worship demigods, especially they worship Shiva, Durga, Kali. And very quickly, as Krishna mentions in third chapter, of Bhagavad Gita, very quickly they get their desired results by performing worship to the demigods. So the world, the entire country is celebrating Shivaratri, and we are also going to hear something about it tomorrow. So we saw so many people, they come to Lord Shiva's temple, and because it is very near to our temple, so they come here also. But then they just pay pranams and they leave. They don't want to associate with devotees. They don't want to hear. The real fruit of spiritual life, or the real blessing of Lord, is devotee association. To sit in Bhagavatam, to hear from saintly persons. And if we do not do that, if somebody does not do that, even though he visits thousands and thousands of pilgrimage places, the suffering, the root cause is not removed. The root cause of suffering is not removed, because it is right there in the heart. And in Sadhu Sangha, the sadhus, with their instructions, with their glorification of Lord, they cut our attachments and relieve us from our root cause. So generally the treatment which is treating the root cause, it is very painful. Ayurveda is painful. Allopathy is very relieving. But we know that one treats to the root cause, one gives superficial patch-up solution. So demigod worship and seeking benedictions from Lord Shiva, Lord Durga, or for the matter any demigod, is like patch-up solution. So in Srimad Bhagavatam, in various scriptures, Lord Shiva is glorified, mentioned, but his actual glorification comes in Srimad Bhagavatam, where it is mentioned that Vaishnavanam yatha shambhu. So who is he? He is the topmost Vaishnava. He is Tribhuneshwar. He is controller of this material world. He is Mayapati. But his actual position is Vaishnavanam yatha shambhu. He is the topmost Vaishnava. And therefore whoever goes to Lord Shiva for seeking the blessings so that he can advance in bhakti is a real intelligent person. So in Srimad Bhagavatam 11th canto, it is mentioned that Lord Krishna is glorified as Shiva Virinchi Nutam Sharanyam, that he is even worshipped by Lord Shiva and Lord Brahma. So those we see in various instances that demons, they generally go to Shiva and Brahma and they seek blessings. But at the end, even they cannot save these demons from the hands of Lord when Lord comes in the form of death. So Ravan was a great devotee. Hiranyakashipu was a great devotee of Brahma. A devotee in the sense, he performed such a severe austerity, that Brahma said, na bhuto na bhavishyati, nobody will be able to perform this kind of austerity in future. So even though he performed such severe austerity, Ravan pleased Lord Shiva by lifting Kailasha, but at the end they got killed by Lord, and these personalities, who are, Shiva is almost Vishnu, he could also not save his so-called devotee Ravana. So this should bring one to an understanding that worshipping demigods is not very intelligent. Krishna says in 7th chapter, Kamasthesthe Rita Jnana Prapadyanti Anya Devataha. Those whose intelligence are stolen by material desires, they go to demigods and they surrender to them. They do not surrender actually, they just seek benedictions. If it is fulfilled, then they continue. If it is not, they change, party change. So generally Shiva is, because Shiva means auspicious, he just gets pleased by little offering of water and little flowers. So it's very easy to please him. Other demigods, there are many rules and regulations. But Shiva gets pleased very easily, so all the demons, they approach him. Even the sons of Diti, Shukracharya, he generally recommends to these Danavas, the Daityas, the worship of Shiva. Whereas the sons of Aditi, they are worshippers of Vishnu. And because they are devoted to Vishnu, Vishnu even stays with them in heavenly planet. Is one of the expansion, as Upendra is constantly present in heavenly planet. And Indra, when he calls his assembly, he addresses everyone, respects everyone, and then by his side Upendra is sitting, who is his younger brother, but he is Vishnu himself. And he does not know that because of him, because of his presence, this assembly hall is there. As Krishna says, Gama Vishyacha Bhutani Dharayami Mojasa, I am holding it. But still, because they are in some way or another, they are worshipping Krishna. So Krishna is saying, okay, they are my devotees. But those who are pure devotees, they completely surrender to the Lord and they want to share this with other people. So Lord Shiva also, if a devotee goes to him for seeking blessings, he guides them. So in Bhagavatam we find that in Prachetas, they went for performing austerity. So they met Lord Shiva there. And Lord Shiva gave them famous Rudra song, Rudra Geet, which we can always sing. It's full of glorification of his own Lord, Lord Sankarsana. And these Prachetas, by they accepted Lord Shiva as Guru, and by singing that song in association, they pleased Supreme Personality of Godhead. And then Lord appeared and they got ultimate liberation. So that's why Shiva is always engaged in, he is also engaged in welfare activities. And for performing welfare activities, he has dressed himself as, he rubs his body with bhasma, he has all kinds of dresses which generally gentleman does not wear. But he is topmost gentleman, so that these ghosts, goblins, they can stay with him. And then he makes them hear Bhagavatam and they get liberation from there. He is as powerful, he is almost that powerful that he can award liberation also. He can award mukti also, but not the, he can award only Sayujya Mukti, but not this Mukti which we can get by reaching Vaikuntha planets, the other four kinds of Mukti, and the topmost. But if we worship him, if we seek his blessings and see him as a topmost Vaishnava, then he will be very pleased and guide us. So what, if we go to any temple, Shiva temple, we can take one flower from Krishna's feet and then offer it to Shivlinga or offer it to Lord Shiva. He will be so pleased. And immediately, it will help us in advancing in spiritual life. So here Prabhupada mentions in purport that anyone who is against the control of Supreme Personality of Godhead must be killed life after life. Krishna says in 16th chapter that those who are miscreants, I cast them perpetually in lower regions and they can never approach me. So then somebody may ask that if Lord is all merciful, why they can never approach him, so then how will they be delivered? He is saying, I cast them, I perpetually cast them in lower regions and they can never approach me. So Prabhupada mentioned that this is also his mercy, this is also his compassionate nature, because we want this. We want to do enjoy separately, so Lord gives us facility. But his devotees are one step ahead. So they distribute Krishna's mercy freely. That's why it's called causeless mercy. So they sometimes go to lower regions also to preach. Narad Muni goes to hellish planets also and preaches there and makes the conditioned souls into devotees. Prabhupada went to such a lower region, as we heard, as we have been hearing from so many days. He went to such a lower region of this country, of this world, where they were engaged in all kind of abominable activities. They were very unclean, no rules and regulations. And Prabhupada made them into great sannyasis. So great that they were coming to India and preaching to Indians. The so-called Hindus, who knew everything from childhood, who have heard of Rama, Krishna. So these sannyas, these devotees are coming from Western land. They are preaching to Indians, even today. So that's the greatness of a pure devotee. He distributes the mercy of Lord without discriminating. And that is the real blessing of Supreme Lord. So ordinary living beings are subject to karma, but Supreme Personality of Godhead is always victorious over the demons. So Krishna is always victorious over demons. Either he kills the demons or he transforms them directly or through his devotees. So he is not bound by karma. And whatever he performs, he says in Bhagavad Gita, Janma Karma Chame Divyam Evam Yoveti Tatvata. Whatever he performs, it looks apparently as same as the conditioned soul. A small child, he is also playing, doing he performs various mischievous activities, and Krishna is also doing. The supreme controller is controlled by Mother Yashoda because he performed some mischievous activity. But still his karma is divya and his appearance is divya. One who understands this tattvata, he becomes liberated. So what it means by understanding tattvata, because once one understands that in any condition he is Supreme Lord, so one would want to go in that pastime, be a part of that leela. So Krishna comes in this material world, brings his dhamma, brings his devotees to show us a small trailer of spiritual world. So what happens outside when we watch some trailer, and if you like it, we go to watch the movie, entire movie, we purchase the ticket, and in purchasing the ticket, money is involved. Money means it is a result of your hard work. You worked entire day, then you earned money, and using that money, you want to watch that movie. Any person. So similarly, Krishna shows us the trailer. If we want to become a part of that movie in a spiritual world eternally, then we have to perform something, some hard work. And that hard work is the path of Vaidhi Bhakti. But people abstain from hard work when they come to spiritual life. Generally they think spiritual life means now no more problem. Now there should be no more problem. But as long as we are here in this material world, we will face problems. But the good thing about bhakti is, right from the beginning, a sadhaka, he feels some kind of blessings. He feels that blessing. So much so that the newcomers who are coming to bhakti, their chanting is mentioned as they are chanting at the stage of Namabhas. We are trying to come from the level of Namaprad. The newcomers who are coming for the first time and they are chanting Hare Krishna Mahamantra, they are chanting at the stage of Namabhas. They get this they get this blessing of Krishna. Krishna shows them this little glimpse of spiritual world. And then if they desire more, to get more, so then Krishna says, okay, come in devotee association, perform sadhana bhakti, follow the rules and regulations and come back to me. Here I have got my entire family. I have got my gopis, I have got my Radharani, I have got my Nand Baba, Yashoda Maya. Everything. Prabhupada says, why you want to maintain family here? Come to the eternal family, which is our original family. So Krishna shows us through these various pastimes by killing these demons. Now as we heard in previous shlokas, this how Krishna killed these two demons, Vatsasur and Bakasur. So as His Grace Sundar Rupa Prabhu narrated this beautiful story as beautiful pastime, which is not mentioned in Bhagavatam, it's mentioned elsewhere, that Bakasur, he was, even demigods like Shiva and Brahma tried to kill him, but he could not be killed. So then I asked Prabhuji, what could be the reason? And as we heard that Bakasur swallowed Krishna, and as he swallowed, these demigods also got worried. They get worried because they are very much, they love Krishna. The Vrajvasis, they get worried about Krishna because they are situated in topmost position. They don't see Krishna as Supreme Lord. So demigods got worried and they came to kill this demon. He has swallowed Krishna, we will kill him. But they tried all their best weapons. Even Lord Shiva attacked him with his Pashupat Astra, which can only be countered by Narayan Astra. Nobody can defeat Pashupat Astra. But still this demon was not killed. So this may be very wondrous why this demon could not be killed by Shiva also. Was he so powerful? Kamsa conquered him. Kamsa made him his friend. We heard two, three years back when His Holiness Bhakti Ashra Vaishnava Maharaj was doing Krishna Katha. So he, for 3-4 days, Kamsa Katha was going on. And he narrated how Kamsa went to different regions and he conquered these demons. He defeated them, and that's why they became Kamsa's servant. Whenever Kamsa would call them, they would follow his orders. And that's how Kamsa called these demons one by one and sent them to kill Krishna. But Krishna delivered them. So this Bakasur, he was so powerful, Kamsa conquered him. But how come he was not getting killed by Yamadanda, Pashupat Astra? The reason was because he had swallowed Krishna. Krishna was present in his mouth. Even though he is not a devotee, he has come to kill Krishna, because he is in association with Krishna, he is freed from all, he could not be killed by even strongest weapons of this universe, not even by Brahmastra. And when Krishna came out, it was just like second baaye haath ka khel, he just tore him apart. Then he got killed. So these demons, when they come in association with Krishna, indirectly or unfavorably, even they get top result. So what to speak of devotees who are serving Krishna favorably? So we should not doubt this. We should not doubt. And Krishna gives us the highest blessings. Highest blessing of Krishna is when we get taste in chanting the holy name, the Nama. That's the highest happiness. But we see that in sadhaka stage, we don't feel that happiness, because our chanting is like, it's mechanical, we feel sleepy. In Bhagavatam, when this creation is mentioned, in second canto or fifth canto, it is mentioned that when Brahma yawned, from his yawning, these hobgoblins and ghosts were created. So when we perform spiritual activity, we also yawn, we feel sleepy. So this is the demon actually. So that's a, people close their hand. Whenever you yawn, you close your hand or do this. Otherwise this demon will go to everyone and affect them. So it's not good to yawn in spiritual association. But these demons are there, the ghosts, they attack, they try to snatch our spiritual potency, spiritual activities. So it's mentioned there that it Brahma created them. So sometimes we are attacked by them. We are attacked by Nidra Devi, we are attacked by these ghosts when we sit for practicing or sit for our spiritual activities. But if we are constantly remembering Krishna, the thing is that when we start chanting, we do not pray. If we understand that Krishna is absolute and he is equal, his name is equal to his personality, and we constantly think this while chanting, that this name, imagine if President of America comes and sits beside you, how much attentive we will be. That President is sitting, we will be very careful in our bodily movements, what I am speaking, how I am speaking. You are sitting in a meeting with Prime Minister, and if you feel sleepy, then immediately do something, drink water, because he is a very important person. But here Krishna comes personally in the form of his name, and we feel sleepy because we don't think like this. So bhakti starts with adav shraddha, then sadhu sangha, then bhajan kriya, and then anartha nivritti, then one goes to nishtha. But all these things are parallel processing. It's not that once shraddha is 100%, then only bhajan kriya will happen. Once anartha nivritti is 100%, then I will move on to next stage. It happens parallelly. The more our faith increases, the more intense our bhajan kriya becomes. The more intense our bhajan kriya is, the faster we become free from our anarthas. So this all can happen when we increase our faith, and that requires little endeavor. So when we sit for chanting, when we sit for Bhagavatam class, if we constantly think that right now I am with Krishna, this is my personal meeting with him, then no matter how much tired we are, we will never feel sleepy. So our acharyas give, we heard in a few days back, in His Grace Chakravarti Prabhu also quoted this example. And when our acharya gave this example of a man attached to a woman, so even though he is very tired, if he gets to meet his beloved, he feels that all his tiredness has gone. He is fully awake, because he wants to relish each and every word of his beloved. So similarly, when we are with Krishna, if we constantly do this exercise that I am with Krishna, and this is not different, this name is not different from Krishna, it has got all the powers, all the nama, rupa, guna, lila, everything is present in holy name. And if we chant with this attitude, this is guaranteed by our acharyas, even Krishna guarantees that we will immediately relish it. Then it will not be mechanical. Then every mantra we will relish. Otherwise, then we just want to finish our 16 rounds, and after completing 16 rounds, we feel happy. And now I don't have to chant anymore. Tomorrow I'll pick up this. But it can happen with us also, even at this stage, even today, that we can relish the names of Lord, we can relish this process of bhakti if we become little thoughtful. If we just think, if we do this exercise before starting chanting or during chanting, we constantly think that this name is not different from Krishna, I am sitting with Krishna. Then no matter how much tired we are, we will be able to chant attentively. And this attentive chanting again and again, our spiritual masters, our gurus, acharyas, they mention that this attentive chanting is the solution of all the problems. It is one way ticket to Goloka. And if we compromise with this, then there will be delay. There will be delay. So Prabhupada said, don't delay. Even though Krishna has guaranteed Nehabhikarmanashwasti Pratyavayo Navidyate, don't delay. Prabhupada quotes the incidents of Nalkuvar and Manigri, which you heard in previous chapters, that even though they were blessed, they were there in Vrajadham, they were seeing Krishna every day, but they had to wait for 36,000 years. So why to wait? Even though bhakti is guaranteed path of perfection, and surely we will achieve perfection, but why to wait? It is so quick, and performing bhakti in Kali Yuga on planet Earth is so quick. Look from the angle of demigods, their one day is our 1 year. And here somebody like ISKCON is 50 years old now. So the devotees who are serving in ISKCON from 50 years, we just by seeing them we get so much inspiration. That aura of bhakti, the devotion, that just by seeing them, atheists also get inspired. And we say that they have performed bhakti from so many years, 50 years. From demigods' point of view, they just performed bhakti for 50 days. What is 50 days for us? If we see any new person coming in movement, and after 50 days, you see that he's become a pure devotee. He has developed all the ecstatic symptoms of bhakti. Then how much surprised we will be. And then we would also want to follow him. And see, itna quickly, how come he became so pure so quickly? So these demigods, they become very astonished when somebody performs bhakti in Kali Yuga on planet Earth. He said, right, just now he started, and in few days only he got liberation, he got perfection. And for Brahmaji, this is matter of few seconds. So that's why they are craving to come here and take part, participate in Lord Chaitanya's movement. So if we think like this, if you do this mental exercise every day, then we will understand that what is our position, how fortunate we are, then we will not take this process so granted, so cheaply, and will become very serious. So I would stop here. That's all I could gather from what I heard from my seniors and Prabhupada. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Any comments or questions?
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Oh, we are very happy to hear from you. Your sincerity attaching to the Prabhupada and quoting many things in Parampara and many other things. So here I would like to ask one question. In the flow of class, you are mentioning that demons are killed by Krishna and devotees are like the slokas of their paritranaya sadhunam and vinashaya duskrutam. So when we say the demons are killed and devotees are protected, but in generally we see the killing part as devotees also die and demons also will die. The question comes here, what is the protection means? How we can see Krishna's protection in our life? At the present also, as a sadhak also, you mentioned many points in our class. So how can we check this balance? What Krishna is protecting us or is killing our demons? So what is the meaning of protection?
So as I understand that Krishna's protection is not in this term that he'll protect our material assets. He may protect, he may not protect. If it is a hindrance in our bhakti, he may take also. And as to Yudhishthira Maharaj, Krishna says that Yasyaham Anugrihnami Harisheta Dhanam Shanai. To those to whom I am greatly merciful, I take away all their possessions. And then he becomes completely surrendered to me. We see in the case of Avanti Brahman also, he was completely rejected. Everything was taken away from him and then he became surrendered. So sometimes it happens, but it may not be the case always. To Sudama Brahman, he gave everything also. In both cases, Krishna protects our bhakti. That is his actual protection. Because anything in this material world is anyways going to end. Even if we are Brahma, so everything is going to end. So Krishna is not interested in temporary things. If it is favorable for our bhakti, he may give. If it is not, he can take also. So his real protection is in our bhakti. So real protection comes when we are chanting our rounds. No matter how much difficulty comes in life, if we are able to chant our rounds attentively, we are getting devotee association, we are getting Krishna prasad, that is real protection of Krishna. If we are away from that, then we should worry that now I am unprotected, the shield is not there. So then we seek devotee association very quickly. The real protection is that. And to demons, because they are so much against Krishna, then Krishna says they have to give up this body, then only they will perform bhakti. So he kills demons and they are immediately purified. So it's mentioned in Bhagavatam when Arjuna was killing, because Arjuna was pure devotee, his arrow was cleaning them from their anarthas, and immediately after getting rid of anarthas, they were seeing that they are taking darshan of Lord and they are attaining their swarupa. The fastest preaching happened in battle of Kurukshetra. So this is real protection of Krishna, as I understand.
Hare Krishna. Can I add some examples to your answer?
Sure, Prabhuji.
Very nice answer you gave. And the example is, there are innumerable examples in the Bhagavatam and in Ramayana and in Mahabharata. Abhimanyu, he was purposefully killed by Krishna in the Chakravyuha to protect Arjuna and the other Pandavas. And before the beginning of the battle, he said, Kaunte Pratijani Name Bhakta Pranashati. And at the 9th or 10th day, he killed Abhimanyu. Then, at the end of Kurukshetra war, Parikshit was supposed to take birth. He was in the womb and he was protected. But when Parikshit Maharaj was at the peak of his career, he got a curse from Sringi. And he was killed within 7 days. Then Krishna apparently did not protect, but he protected him in the form of Srimad Bhagavatam. As in the case of Bhishma Pitama, he is Mahajan, one of the greatest devotees. Krishna did not protect, rather Krishna found out the way to kill him. He was planning how to kill Bhishma. Indeed, he himself picked up a chariot wheel and rushed to Bhishma to kill him. So the external help of Krishna may vary. He may help, he may not help. As in the case of Parikshit Maharaj, initially at the time of birth help. At the fag end of his life, he did not help externally. As in the case of Jatayu, Lord Ramachandra did his final rites. So it doesn't matter physically whether the Lord helps or he doesn't help. What matters a lot whether he protects my consciousness. As in the case of current scenario, we see recently last year, our dear His Holiness Bhaktichara Swami Maharaj, the way he left his body. So one of the current acharya was telling that it doesn't matter how a devotee leaves his body, means in what circumstances, but it matters a lot what consciousness he was having at the time of his leaving body, or while he is in this material world also. What matters a lot is Krishna consciousness, whether he is in the Krishna consciousness or whether he is not in the Krishna consciousness. That is the protection of Krishna. That is what my understanding is. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Thank you very much for such a wonderful class. So one thing I want to know that, as you mentioned in the class, that Shiva is very pleased if somebody offers a flower which is offered to Krishna's lotus feet. So for a means devotee like me, that how we can means practically apply means what does it really mean that shall we means go to Shiva and in return actually Shiva blesses spiritually advancement. So how can we apply this in our life practically? So can you please clarify?
So practical application is whenever we happen to visit any Shiva temple, we do not have to do it purposefully. Everything is here in ISKCON. Prabhupada has given everything. We don't have to go outside and do it. Everything is here. Chant with devotees and attending Guru Puja, Mangala Arati is complete. Prabhupada has given us complete process. But if sometime when we are on some yatra or anywhere we are visiting and we happen to see Lord Shiva temple, then we should pay our obeisances and offer him respects and seek blessings from him as a topmost devotee, because he is topmost devotee, so we can seek blessings from him that please help me in advancing in bhakti. You are the controller of Maya and this Maya is stopping me, is bringing so many allurements, so please help me in overcoming Maya and then we can please. And if like sometimes devotees go for yatra and there are various jyotirlingas where in India there are Dwadash jyotirlinga, sometimes devotees go. So I have seen devotees, they are taking prasad, Krishna prasad, their persons they do not know. If you tell the local pujari this is offered to Krishna, offer it to, they may not because they are envious. But if you just take one flower, nobody knows where from you have brought the flower, but Shiva knows, Lord Shiva knows that you have brought from Radharas Bihari. So if you offer that flower to Lord Shiva, highest benediction you will get from him.
Hare Krishna. Two more examples for the previous question. As in the case of Vritrasur, in that section it is said that Krishna protected Vritrasur by protecting his consciousness, as we see the last four verses of Vritrasur's prayers, and apparently he gave protection to Indra with Vajra, but actually he protected Indra, Vritrasur, and also in the case of Bali Maharaj and Vamandev and Indra, externally he protected Indra's position, but he gave more benedictions to, he gave real benedictions to Bali Maharaj. So these are the graphic examples which can give us clear understanding what is real benediction and what is not proper benediction. Hare Krishna.
Thank you very much. Do you stop? Grantra Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Anant Koti Vaishnava Vrinda ki, Jai.